Good morning. I'm your host, Barbara Archer. I come to you this morning from Insanity to Sane Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in to another anointed broadcast. And I just want to say to everyone this morning that are listening, I just pray that your Memorial Day weekend was a very blessed weekend as we take time to pay respect and acknowledge all those that have fought for our country for many years. But I just don't want us to get in a place that we just think about them during special holidays, but they are in our prayers each and every day of our lives. So that's my prayer this morning. I pray that is your prayer as well. This morning, we have a very special guest in the studio with me this morning. I'm very blessed, very pleased to have him here. But before we bring him on, as you all know, I always start off with each broadcast with prayer, and we're going to just come to God this morning, and we're just going to just lift his name up on high this morning. We just want to glorify him for all that he's done and continues to do in each and every last one of our lives. So whatever need, whatever your struggle may be this morning, whatever that you're dealing with, it may be a wayward child, it may be a marriage, it may be your health, it may be your finances, it may be a relationship, whatever it is, just know that God is bigger than any problem that you have and that he's here for you, but you just have to call on him and just look to him, for he is the author and finisher of your faith, and just trust him. But most importantly, just trust his timing. But with that being said, we're just going to just go to the throne of grace this morning. So, Father, we just praise you this morning. We just thank you, Lord, for the life that you've given us. It is indeed a privilege because you have chosen us to be here this day. And because you woke us up this morning, oh, Lord, we know, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for us, that it is not over until when you say so, because you have the final say. And, Father, we just pray for all those that are struggling this morning. Father, so often when we're struggling and we're going through different things and different storms and trials in life, we look to everything in the natural, but help us to keep our eyes on you because you are a supernatural God. Father, help us not to get consumed and bottled down with all the cares of this world, oh, Lord, but that we can cast all our cares upon you, for you care for us. And, Lord, I just pray for all those under the sound of my breath that may not know you, Father, as their Lord and Savior. They may have backslidden. They may have gotten away from you, Lord. But, God, I pray that you would just touch their life right now, Father, that their prayer this morning would be, what must I do to be saved? And, Lord, I just praise you right now for saving a multitude of people. And, Lord, I just pray a special blessing over my guest this morning. And I just pray, Father, that you would just continue to just pour out your spirit on him, that you will continue to bless him in everything that he does, Father. And, Lord, I just pray that you give him peace during this interview, Lord, which passes all understanding. And, Father, that you will be glorified with this interview this morning, oh, Lord, as we have been preparing for this for weeks now. The day is here, Lord, and I know there are people that are listening, that are tuning in, that they want to know. They want to hear this message, and I pray, Father, that it touches and it pierces the depths of their soul, oh, Lord. And, Father, I just pray that you would just move, that you would just have your way, Father. We always have to plan, but, Father, but we just ask you to just intercede. We just ask you to go before us, oh, Lord, because it's not about us. It's all about you. And, Father, as we decrease in these moments that we have together, Father, that you will do the increase. And, Father, we will forever give you all the glory. We give you all the praise and all the honor that is due to your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I have the privilege, like I have spoken before, and I've been advertising this interview for several weeks now, and it's finally here. It is a husband's farewell to an amazing lady, and we're going to share a little bit about her life this morning. We have her husband with us this morning. His name is Michael Hollinger, and it's just a blessing to have met him, and his story and his wife's book is just so uplifting, and it really inspired me. It really spoke to my spirit, and I know it's going to speak to you as well. So without further ado, I'm just going to bring him onto the air this morning. Hello, Michael. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Miss Barbara.
That's good.
I would just like
I'm
to
glad
first
that
say,
you're here. Yes.
I would like to say thank you to you, Miss Barbara, for inviting me here today to share. My wife was a beautiful lady. And she had quite the testimony that she put in her book, and I'm looking forward to sharing. I'd like to say good morning to everybody from Alaska. Most people in the lower 48 always want to know what is the temperature in Alaska. It's only about 45 degrees, but it will warm up. We have actually been in the 70s. Alaska's beautiful. We have pristine mountains, and we have moose, we have bear, we have mosquitoes in the summertime. It's an awesome place. And I would like to ask today, as we share, this is very near and dear to me. I may do very well, and there may be pauses as I'm just trying to keep it together. If there is, it'll be short. I'll get back on track, but just be patient if you would. It's very heartfelt what we went through, this family.
Amen.
Barbara?
Ms.
Barbara?
Yes, I'm right here, Mike. I know it is. You know, I mean, no one knows exactly what goes on in a person's life, you know, in a person's story, but the characters that is in that exact story. But just give us a little bit of insight. But I just want to introduce the book. The name of the book is called Through the Trials, Just Believe, you know. And as I was reading it, it's just a phenomenal book and definitely a phenomenal woman that God truly blessed you with, that you were married to. And through this book, it's going to inspire you. You know, as I was reading it myself, the first chapter, I barely got through it because I just kept crying. I could not stop crying. It really compelled me. It really brought tears to my eyes. And then as I finished the book, I mean, I was just completely done. I truly was. You know, I've never read something so beautiful that it just touched my life. And I know it's going to touch other people's lives this morning as well. So we're just going to get right into the interview. Just give us a little bit of background about your wife, Michael. If you could just share just a little bit of background before we get into the questions itself of the interview, because I want to be able to set the stage so that people will understand who your wife was and who she still is today, even though that she is not with us in the physical aspect. But we just know that she's with Almighty God and she's in his presence and she's walking the streets of gold right now, you know, and one day that we'll walk those streets with her. And just knowing that you just have that angel that's just looking down on you and your children each and every day. And I know that is a tremendous blessing to you. But just give us a little bit of background about your wife, if you don't mind, Michael.
Okay. Nitza, quite the story. She was born in Spanish Harlem in Manhattan, very poor. At a young age, she experienced much, dodged bullets on three occasions. At the very young age of five, she knew she needed to get out of there. Something happened when she was real young. They went to a revival meeting. Her family and her became believers, and that radically changed her life. And at the young age of five, she was kicked out of public school. She was a person that was very strong-willed, and it was all God's doing because he had a plan for her that put her into private school. If you're a poor lady from Spanish Harlem, ended up in private schools, ended up going to boarding school with the rich kids, on through her, quite the education path, through the Ivy Leagues and law school. And during that time, her relationship with God waned just a little bit. It was the year we met, in 91, that God did a remarkable work, brought Nitza back to him. She's a highly gifted lady. She is connected to people, was connected to people all over the U.S., loved by many, many people. She was an amazing teacher and chose not to practice law. She taught in Christian school settings, and then she stayed home and homeschooled our boys. And she devoted her life. She gave everything into everything she did. It's just amazing. And her relationship with God, that lady was so connected. She'd hear from God, sometimes his audible voice, always an impression through the word. And she was so used of God and gifted in music and teaching, impressive, the things, even in high school, without even knowing how, she taught a deaf classmate how to speak French. And 2 years later, she was in an interview for a college acceptance in the mother. She didn't know it was the mother interviewing her who thanked her for teaching her son to speak French. I mean, she was an amazing lady, and I could go on and on. And one thing she did is she did all things God asked of her, and she did all things well. And, yeah, I miss her very, very much.
Amen, amen. Now, your wife was a woman of faith, and she had great courage just by reading her book itself. You know, she suffered a lot, especially there was a few health issues that she had, including the bipolar and then the TB and many others. But at that time, when the cancer appeared, it was evident that your wife knew at that point that she was going to leave this world, you know, and be united with her Heavenly Father, you know. But tell us the days leading up to your wife's departure from this world, you know, but just take us back to that place that with all of the different health issues that she had and then finally cancer, you know, I mean, you know, so often we go through so many different things, you know, and sometimes we get a break in between before the next storm hits, you know, but it seems like your wife, there was, it appears that there was no rest in between. It was always one thing right after another. But just give us a little bit of background about that and your wife's many health issues, and then just express to us about when she was diagnosed with the cancer, you know, how did that affect her as well as the family itself, you know. So often we go through life, and when we get hit with many things, there are times that we feel, okay, God, what next? You know, it feels like that we're about to crush, we're about to break. You know, it's like, God, I can't take one more thing. But we find the courage and the strength to do that. But just help us to get inside of the time when you was going through that with your wife and when y'all receive news from your wife's doctor.
Okay. I'd like to go back just slightly in the cancer journey on this question and share an experience Nisa had that kept her very, very strong. Until that time, it was in the fall of 2013 when there was a shift and God began to prepare Nisa to forever be with him. The breast cancer, unfortunately, had spread to the brain. We quickly got her on a plane. She went to Omaha to live with her cousin, who is a doctor, a Christian, and they were on their way to church one day, and they were discussing the cancer journey. And this is something that Nisa wrote in her book. Part of me felt tired and wanted to meet my Lord. The other part wanted to fight like a wild woman to stay alive for my husband and two boys. She states, I felt that I still had work left to do in the land of the living. I truly felt at peace with either outcome, but I decided to continue to fight. Now, when they arrived at church, the very first liturgical reading was of Paul's internal conflict, whether it was better to live or die, and Paul decided it was better to live and continue the good work. Nisa knew right then that God was inspiring her to continue the fight because he had a plan for her. A verse he gave her early on that really this really strengthened Nisa. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord, which Nisa did in the writing of her book. God wanted the book written. It's a testimony he wanted. And I remember as she was writing, even way back, well before she passed away, I often wondered when she finishes this book, what's going to happen, God? Is she going to start declining? It was the day she finished. She couldn't do anymore. She couldn't process. When we received the word, she received the word, it was December 2010, that she had cancer. I mean, this lady was strong. I mean, Spanish Harlem, she was strong. And one thing she would always tell me, process, just more process. And she would always say, this too shall pass. I mean, those are things she always told herself. And she just held on to Jesus so tightly with her faith. It was the fall of 2013. Nisa's body became tired and weary of the cancer, and there's a shift that happened. She then accepted and knew the boys would be okay and I would be okay. And then God began remarkably preparing my wife to forever be with him with visions and dreams of heaven. She had many, many dreams of angels coming to take her. And one of them, I remember her telling me in the morning, Mike, she said, the angels were coming to take me to heaven. And she said, I could hear them speaking. And they were saying, she is too weak. We must carry her and take her to drink from the river of healing. Yes. And another, she told me, she went to heaven, and she said, Mike, I saw my small home. It wasn't ready. And she could hear a voice behind her. It was a man. She said, I know it was Jesus. He said, it is okay. You can come live with me in my palace. She said, Mike, I turned around and saw the most beautiful crystal palace you could ever imagine, and I gladly would have left then if he would have taken me. It was then February 2014. The breast cancer went to the brain three times. It was the third occurrence. We were talking with the radio oncologist. He gave her the news that the brain tumor would soon take her life. When we left, she looked at me and said, Mike, she said, at that very, very moment, my spirit leaped with excitement that I would soon see Jesus. And she began sharing that enthusiasm with all of her friends. There were many, many, many more memorable events as God was preparing her. And there's something that hit me very hard when my wife, it actually happened that the day she passed in our living room, we took care of her in our home to the very end. And there's something that became very real to me and left a lasting impression. And it was this. Nitza was an amazing lady. She did all things well. And she left the boys and I an amazing gift. Besides leaving me the gift of a wonderful wife, and she left the boys the gift of a terrific mother, she also left us this gift, and that is how a believer whose eyes are on Jesus leaves this life, and heaven is the only option. Something Nitza wrote in her book is this: it is not about outcomes, how long we live. It is about living the day and what we do at the time we have, and she called it living the day. And through the entire trial, all the surgeries, all the chemo, all the hardships, I can tell you Nitza was a lady who lived the day to the very, very, very end. And she is very missed.
Amen. Amen. You know, that is a very beautiful story, though, Mike. You know, so often that we spend so much time, you know, worry about nonsense things that don't even make any sense, you know. We worry about things that really don't even matter, you know, and sometimes people think, okay, you know what, well, I haven't lived long enough. It's not about, and I definitely agree with your wife, it doesn't matter how long that you live, you know. It's what you do with the life that God has given you. You know, that is the ultimate gift that I believe that we can leave someone behind, and that was a gift that your wife left for you and your two boys, you know. And that's something that y'all will always cherish, and your children will always look back on it and know that their mother was this incredible woman, you know, that loved the Lord with all her fiber, with all her being, you know. And she's in a better place, you know. And you know, it's wonderful that you were able, that God prepared you, that you was able to let go and let God, you know. And a lot of us, we struggle there, you know. How did that actually, how did that turn around for you, that you was able to just let go? I know it was your faith, and I know it was, you know, you seeing God just moving and working in your life. But at the same time, we're still in the flesh, you know, and we still look to things in the natural, because that's just our instinct, you know, and part of us wants to hold on, you know. But how did you get that courage to let go?
Well, I can say that if God had not been with this family, had not walked with each one of us the way he did, walked with me in a way, it was very difficult. It may come out a little bit later. But because of God and because of the hope that we have in Jesus, that this life we're just passing through, none of us want to lose our loved ones. I did not want to lose my wife. a beautiful woman, loved her very, very much. And it is through the strength of Christ. One thing I always told the boys is that, you know, if God takes mom and she gets to heaven, there is nothing on this earth that would make her want to come back. Not me, not you guys. As much as she doesn't want to leave, she would have rather it been differently, of course. But there's nothing that would make her want to come back. And that's a real strength and a hope that we have in Jesus. Now, what really, I would say, helped me to let go, I took care of my wife the whole time. The last 16 months, she was in a wheelchair. I experienced and watched the decline. It was very, very hard. And the last month and a half, from I think it was May 9th to June 20th, she was in a hospital bed in our living room, amazing lady. Even though she couldn't respond much, she would still make her sister and I laugh. She was just amazing. But it came to the point where I didn't want to see her in any more discomfort. I knew what heaven is going to be like, and at least I can only imagine. I don't really know. But it just helped me to let go, knowing that she's going to be in a better place. And not easy, but it was through the strength of God that brought that help that I needed.
Right. Amen. Now, as I was reading a book on May 27th, that's when your wife was bedridden, since May the 9th, 2014, and she had not spoken at that moment. When you read to your wife the revised acknowledgement, your wife immediately became alert and alive. Did you feel at that moment that could have been God's healing? You know, because I know myself, my mother was sick for 5 years, and I cared for her 24/7. And so I know it's not easy caring for someone that is sick. And I remember that last week, you know, of her being with us, you know, after the doctor said that they only give her a week. And long story short is that she sat up one day, and when she immediately sat up and she began to speak and talk, I was thinking, okay, God, could this be your healing? You know, and I so desperately wanted that to be my mother's healing, that she would stay with us. But she just had that one moment like that, and then there was no more moments like that. Did you think for one second, you know, because, I mean, I believe it's only just human nature of us to really go there just for that moment, you know, did you feel that could be, or that could have been God's healing at that moment, you know, when you read those acknowledgments and she became alive and alert to what you was reading to her?
You know, possibly yes. And let me explain. First, I'd like to share an experience. Nita's sister Lydia, they were very close. Lydia had a very, very, very hard time accepting and letting go. It was actually the last 4 months she stayed with me. She's a nurse's aide in a hospital, and she stayed with me and helped care for my wife. That's when she let go and started actually praying that God would take her sister. She didn't want her in that state anymore. But very early on, God gave Lydia a dream as he was preparing her. Lydia told me she saw Nathan in a glistening white gown, more beautiful than she had ever seen her. And my wife was very, very beautiful. And Lydia told me that Nita was just radiating with beauty. And in the dream, Nita said to Lydia, "No matter what, I am healed." Now, on the day that I had read her the revised acknowledgement, I had added a couple acknowledgements to the book. At this point, Nita had not spoken for some time. And she immediately came alert and alive, and I would just like to read what happened here. She said, "I feel so vigorous. I thank God for the cancer. It is like nothing ever happened." She was smiling. She was laughing. And she just continued to talk about how much she loved God. And then she said, "I am happy and full of peace, and Jesus is so good." This continued for a couple of minutes, and unfortunately, it would be the last time that Nita would speak. Now, Lydia, she did sense right then, she told me afterwards, that she sensed that we did experience Nita at that very, very moment in her healed state, as she would be in heaven. I, at that moment, sensed something a little bit differently. I knew God wanted this book written. The preface explains how God showed Nitza how to do it. So when I read her the revised acknowledgement page, I had the impression that God was speaking through her, saying, I am well pleased with you. You have done all things well. You know, I like to say, no matter what life's challenges present, God is always in control. We may not like the answers. For example, Nitza had other miraculous healings in her life, but he chose to heal her this time by taking her home to be with him. Was not easy on us, but God also knows those he can trust. And with God, physical health is very important. That's why we see miraculous healings. But more importantly than our physical health is our spiritual health, the spiritual health of others. God had a plan for Nitza. He wanted her to write a testimonial book to help encourage, and the book is designed to point people to Jesus. But unfortunately for us that are still here, it could only be written through her experience, the trial that she did. And you know what I believe?
What?
I believe there's going to be many people that are going to get to heaven who will have read her book, and possibly, because of her book, how it brings a person right to that confession of faith prayer, will go up to her in heaven and say to her, thank you. Thank you for being so obedient. Thank you for doing what God asked of you and for writing your book, because it is because of your book that I am here. And, yeah, Miss Barbara, we may have experienced, as Lydia felt, her healing. We may have seen what she might be like in heaven during that moment.
Right. Amen. You know, I mean, such a beautiful way, you know, and a lot of times, you know, we can, I don't like to use the word selfish, because I don't think that we're selfish in a sense, but there are times, you know, that we don't want to see our loved ones leave us, you know, and I went through that same thing, and what God spoke to me about, and I know that I am a woman of faith, but he spoke to me, and he told me, he says, before she was your mother, she belonged to me. And at that moment, that's when it had just settled. It was like, I'm done, you know, and I was able to let her go, you know, because I know that she has suffered a long time, you know, and God's healing is not, you know, like in the Bible says that God's ways is not our ways and his thoughts is not our thoughts, you know, that his thoughts is higher than our thoughts and so are his ways, you know. And what we call healing, you know, we always look for the natural physical healing here on earth, but God can heal by taking a life and, you know, just bringing healing to you that you're no longer in your pain. You don't have to suffer anymore, you know. But your wife spoke so many true, profound words throughout her entire book. But one of the, I just want to recall one of the quotes that your wife spoke of in her book. She said that she thanks God for the cancer. You know, it is like nothing never happened to help, you know, just help us to understand, and even our listeners to understand your wife's state of mind during that time, you know, because not too many people will be able to say those words, I thank God for the cancer. So help us to understand, first of all, your wife's state of mind at that time, and help us to understand so that we can get some form of understanding on our own, because that's something I believe you can't understand it in the natural. You have to understand it supernatural. So just help us to understand your wife's phrase when she says that, I thank God for the cancer.
At that time, this is very hard. I mean, my wife was so intelligent. Her mental clarity wasn't there. That's why it was so remarkable what happened as she came to and said, I thank God for the cancer. You know, Scripture teaches us that we're to be thankful in all things. We can't explain everything. We don't have the answers. God does. We don't. And what I can say is that Nitza touched so many people through the cancer journey. It's remarkable. All the ladies that come up to me and what they say about her and how she carried herself, and so full of joy the whole time, so full of peace, so full of Jesus. And always the well-dressed, classy lady she was. And she just touched so many people, and she was always thankful. This was the first time, however, that she actually said, "I thank God for the cancer." And it really, it just touched us in the home as she was speaking this. Had it not been for this, I mean, how many people wouldn't have been touched? I mean, oh, I'd rather this not have been.
Right.
But, she wasn't really with us when that happened. That's why it was definitely a God moment when she spoke those words. It was like she was already in heaven, you know, speaking that, because it's just not something that the natural, normal person, I think, would actually speak. But, yeah.
Now, your wife, you know, like I said, you know, she was an incredible woman, you know, but definitely she ran her race, you know. She had so many accomplishments, and she accomplished so many things in the life that God has given her. But she did not want to include them in the book, nor other people knew about it. You know, now, I understand that your wife, that she didn't want the book to be focused on her, but she wanted the book to be focused on her God. And that, I have a deep appreciation for her for that as well, you know. But why do you feel that your wife wanted to hide so much about herself? And, I mean, I understand, you know, giving God the glory for your life, that I can totally understand that as well, you know. But, you know, there were things that your wife could have put in the book, but she chose not to, you know. Why do you think that was so?
Nita was very humble, as you stated. She ran the race well, and Nita had an impressive past. Most people that knew her, her friends, they knew she was highly intelligent, very gifted. They knew of her education. I mean, as I already highlighted, Spanish Harlem all the way up through law school. But Nita never placed focus on those things. I mean, that lady was connected. She was a Spanish drill instructor while at Dartmouth. She taught the Rockefeller. She hung out with names of people we know from the media. I mean, the lady was connected, but she never boasted about all that. She would just fit in with her friends. One thing her friends always remember of Nita is that she would always put a smile on their faces. They just loved being with her and just laughing, and she was just a down-to-earth person. I remember something that happened that says much of Nita's character. It was the spring 2014. We just received an electronic copy of the book cover design, a very significant image of a tree grounded in a rock. Beautiful picture of Nita in the front corner. Actually, she was dying there. You'd never know it. It was 1 month before she was diagnosed. But I showed Nita the cover design, and I said to her, and at this point, she had not responded for some time, often with hesitation and confusion. And I said, "Nita, do you ever think your book would be so beautiful?" And here's what she said with no hesitation and no confusion: "It is God's book. Give me no glory." I just want a little side note there. Ex Libris encouraged me to get a book review, but they warned me. My senior marketing advisor is a believer, believes in the book, but he said Kirkus reviews can destroy first-time authors. They're very, very harsh on their reviews. Can you handle it? And he went on to say that if we get one positive sentence, we'll pull it out and use it for marketing. When we sent it off, I said, "God, based on what Nita said, if it is your book, it has to get a positive review." The review came back 100% positive. My senior marketing advisor was just, oh, he was ecstatic. He says, "Mike, we can use the whole review. I put the whole review in the book. We're using it everywhere." It was just, it was amazing. It was wonderful. In the preface of the book, Nitzer wrote, "This testimony is not about me, but about how God sustains us through hard times." And one thing the Kirkus Review said, Hollinger writes of her experience with intelligence, and her story is marked by clarity, humor, humility, and gratitude. Nitzer was very humble. God knowing that, and knowing that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, Scripture teaches that. I believe that God made Nitzer the amazing lady that she was, knowing that someday, just like he has a plan for all of us, we may not always understand his plans, but that someday he had a plan for her to humbly share her experience with illness to help encourage others going through life's difficult trials. And I believe that God knew, because he created her, that he could trust Nitzer to make him, as she did, the focus of her testimony. And, she was amazing. There's things I didn't even learn about her till 6 months before she passed. Not that she was hiding it. It's just that she's not one that boasted of things she did in life.
Amen, amen. You know, so based on that alone, you know, just share with us a little bit about your journey as far as with the passing of your wife. Well, I'll put it like this way, the homecoming. I like to refer to it as the homecoming. And your children as well. You know, so often that we don't see what other people see. And we're still left here having to grieve, having to miss our loved ones, you know? So where I'm going at with this is that during those times that you were preparing and God was preparing your family for your wife's homecoming, was there any time during that time that you actually had a time to actually grieve? Because I'm a firm believer that we can have faith, but it's okay to grieve. You know, grieving is an emotion, you know, and I believe that God gives us that emotion, you know. Are we supposed to stay stuck in that grieving process? No, but I believe it's okay and God understands. How or when was there a time during that time, especially the last few months of your wife's being with you, you know, were there ever a time that you actually had that grieving portion and you went through that process? Because I believe it's a process and we have to go through that process. We have to process what we're feeling even in the natural. And I think sometimes people, they try to over-spiritualize it, you know, and feel that we're not supposed to. Well, that portion I don't agree with. You know, that's just me personally. You know, I don't agree with it. But was there a time with you that you actually went through that grieving process? You know, maybe behind the closed doors when, you know, maybe when your wife wasn't present, that she didn't see you grieve, but was there a time that, or maybe there was a time that y'all grieved together and she was able to encourage you and even comfort you during that process?
Yeah, the grieving for me, God began preparing me very early, even before her diagnosis. It was very, very hard on me. It was emotionally difficult. It's not easy when God tells you your wife is going to die. I couldn't share these things with Nitzer. I wouldn't. And it was very hard. So the grieving for me started very early on, but it was very internalized. It was very bottled up. It created a lot of emotional stress, anxiety, very hard. It also made me very strong for Nitzer. As the journey began, we didn't know, God had told me the outcome. It's a whole testimony in itself. But at the beginning, we pursued down the path that Nitzer is going to be okay. She's going to get better. God just poured out his lavish love on her. You just can't imagine all that he did. The grieving for me, it happened early on. it was so intense through the journey. I mean, she had so many surgeries, so much chemo, so many changes, that we were very much continually focused on the next step. What do we have to do next? Every day things were changing. What do we have to do next? When it really, really hit me hard, and Nita and I also had our moments together, of course, and shared, and it was hard, but I also tried to stay strong for her. This lady was strong. She hardly ever got down, and what she did, it lasted for about a minute or two, and she was right back up. When she passed away, that night, that was a very significant day in itself. A number of things lined up that day, but it hit me very hard that night. I was an emotional wreck for about 2 days only, unfortunately, because then I had to hit the road running on planning her amazing memorial and then the road running on the book marketing, which took me months of intense work. My grieving has been spread out. Something happened recently. I'm going through getting the home ready for a move, going through things, coming across so many hard things. And I came across, my wife always journaled. You know, she in her devotion, she was always journaling, but she had this journal buried in her cedar chest. It was a big journal. It was probably bigger than 8.5 by 11. I never knew she had it. We met November 1st, 1991. November 26, 91, she started journaling. And it opened with, and now begins my love story. And I'm starting to look through this. She's journaling our relationship as we met. Things that I did, I forgot about, all these clippings in there of handwritten things. And she's talking in ways that it is so moving and things that I didn't even know. And she's bringing out how God brought this together. And that just tore me up. I began to bawl. And for a number of days, it was very hard on me. And things that, I mean, I never knew she did that. I never knew she had that there. And it was so intimately, the way it was written. And so my grieving has been spread out, because this just happened about 2-3 weeks ago. But God is with me. He's helping me. And I know as difficult as things like that are, it all helps with the healing process, because at some point we have to grieve. We have to release. And God's helping me walk through that. And, yeah, it's been hard, and it's been kind of stretched out.
Wow, yeah. You know, do you feel that one day that you will no longer grieve?
Yes, I do believe. I will always miss her. But I also... here's one thing I've always told my boys, and that's this, and I told them this toward the end, that you always hold on to your memories. You never let go of them. The memories of your mom and her, the homeschooling she did, the things we did together, and even the gift she left us, how this a believer leaves this life. I said, you hold on to them, but do not live in the past with your memories. Keep them with you in the present. Look to the future, because life will and must go on. And I believe in that. I believe that, A, God gives us the strength, and I believe that life must go on. And as hard as it is, yes, I believe there'll come a day where there won't be grieving, but rather rejoicing because of the woman she was, all that she left us, the testimony she left others, and... just knowing she did all things well. So, yeah, that healing is coming.
Right. Amen. Amen. Well, you know what? What we're going to do right now, I'm going to take a short commercial break, and we're just going to give our guests just a few seconds to just relax for a moment, because this is a very lengthy interview that I'm doing this morning. So I do have one announcement. I just want everybody to hold still. After the announcement, I'll be right back on the air. I have received several questions from some followers that has been following the press release that I sent out weeks ago, and we're going to get to those questions as well. So just bear with us just one more moment, and the next voice you hear, I'll be back on the air with you, all right?
from Insanity to Sane Radio, featuring Ms. Barbara Archer. Thank you for tuning in to another anointing broadcast where you will be inspired and God be exalted throughout the earth. We come live every Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please send all inquiries at frominsanitytosane.com. The next voice you hear will be Ms. Barbara Archer.
All right. Well, we're back in the studio. Thank you so much. I am your host, Barbara Archer, from Insanity to Sane Radio. This morning, we have the privilege of having Mike Hollander into the studio with me this morning as we discuss his wife's book, Through the Trials, Just Believe. And when I read that, it just gives me more hope, because we will have trials and tribulations. God never promised us that we will live on this earth and it will be peaches and cream. He never did promise us that. But he says, but take courage. Just know that I have overcome the world. So we can go through our storms and our tribulations just knowing that God is there and that his love will see us through. But, Mike, there were some things that what I did have outlined that I definitely want to be able to discuss with you this morning in your wife's book. And I'm just going to ask you a question. How did you get the courage to actually finish what your wife started? You know, so often, you know, we have to have something that we can hold on to. And then after, when it is over, then what do we have next to hold on to? Have you ever felt that way? You know, okay, what is next? You know, because when you're going through it, when someone is sick and you go through it, you know, and then when you see that God has taken them from this earth and they walk in the streets of gold with God, you know, one of the scriptures that come to me the most in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and that's the faith chapter, and it speaks on that we have a crowd of witnesses cheering us on. You know, there are so many people that have gone before us, and they in heaven, and they're cheering us on each and every step of the way. You know, what type of support did you have at the end that has helped you to carry on? I know it's your boys and all that, you know, and I'm sure you get a lot of strength for them, and you know, you have to be strong for them as well, you know. But what about Mike? Because so often we try that we be everything for everyone else, but it seems like so often we leave ourselves out of the loop, you know. So what do Mike have that has been a comfort to you, or has helped you as you go through what you just went through with your wife going home to be with the Lord?
Well, I can honestly say that my true support, we had an amazing support base. It was nationwide in France, but my true support was God. There's a whole testimony how he prepared me in advance and he began speaking. But even now, he's continually just speaking to me. Just, you know, so often I'll pray and then he'll answer, and he'll answer in different ways. This last Sunday at church, I was needing to hear. I've kind of felt like my life's been right now in shuffle mode. I never thought of it that way, but in the message, the speaker was saying how at times our life is in shuffle mode, but God is always, always, always in control. And that's where my strength has come from. God has helped me to understand and realize that he is always in control. Even when things seem confused, when they seem mixed up, we don't understand, but he is in control. And he has been walking with my family still, just as he did through the cancer journey. He walked with each of us differently. He walked with me differently than Nita. He prepared me. He walked with my boy, showing my one boy where to go to college when his mom was dying. He walked with Nita and her sister. But he's still walking with us, speaking all the time to us. There's been some things I've needed to do. One of them, I just completed last month. I needed to bring closure to her book. I wrote a final chapter, and it's titled A Husband's Farewell to an Amazing Lady. And I brought out some things that she didn't share in her book. That actually helped me a lot to do that. It helped bring more closure. In fact, you know, prior to writing that, Miss Barbara, I didn't want to get involved in interviews. I was mentally exhausted. I was tired. When I finished writing that, I said, okay, God, you don't need me to be involved in interviews for this book. It's your book. You don't need me. But if that is what you desire, then what your will be done. You open the doors. And then all of a sudden, doors started opening, and I ended up with a 50-minute pre-interview with Miss Barbara, and here we are. And, so my strength has totally been God, and it's only because of His strength that I'm here today speaking with you. And so I thank Him that He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He is always there. He's always speaking. We just need to listen. And you know something she brought out in her book? All He wants to do is love us. He just wants to love us. We just have to let Him love us. And I'm choosing to just keep my focus on Him. That's where my strength comes from. And I thank Him. Every day I thank Him. God wants us to be thankful no matter what, no matter the trials, no matter the situation, just to be thankful. And that's where He has me.
Amen, amen. You know, that is so true. This morning, as I was up early this morning in my quiet time, just me and God, that was my devotion this morning, is to be thankful for every situation, you know, because what I tell people all the time, you know, and some people want to hear it, some people don't want to hear it, like I tell people that what you're going through, you may feel that it is so hard that you're not going to be able to get through it. But there's someone out here that will trade places for your pain. Some people out here will trade places for your sickness, you know, because of what their sickness is, you know. And definitely, you know, that God has you definitely in the palm of His hands, you know, and your boys, you know. But just take us back, and I don't know how much you may want to share of this or not, but if you could just take us back to that morning when your wife, when she left this world to go on and be with glory. Just take us back to that, what last moment that was like for yourself and your family.
Okay. I'm going to bring it to a week prior.
Okay.
And then lead right up to that. It was a week and a day prior. Nita was seeing things in the spiritual. She couldn't talk. And she was looking outside, laying in the hospital bed. And Nita heard her whisper, Lydia, her sister, heard a whisper, and Lydia looked at me and said, Mike, I think she said, I am going home. So I told her, ask her if that's what she said, to squeeze your hand. So she did, and she squeezed her hand very hard. So I went down there, and I said, Nita, did you say I'm going home? And so squeezed my hand. She squeezed it hard. She saw something in the spiritual that led her to believe God was going to take her right then. Well, she didn't leave then. Sunday, she passed the following Friday. On Sunday, something that is probably the most difficult thing of the entire cancer journey for me. I mean, it's hard when God tells a husband starting a year and a half your wife's going to die. It's hard. All that is hard. But on Sunday, Nita slipped into a coma. But prior, I was holding her hand, and for the longest time, she looked into my eyes. And I told her I loved her. And I talked to her a little bit. I didn't know she was going to slip into a coma. And she just looked at me for the longest time. Then she looked at the boys. They were at the foot of the bed talking with her sister. She looked at her sister. She stayed awake for about an hour. And then she went to sleep. And I know, Nita always knew her body. I know that she knew that she wouldn't be with us again. And how I wish, I wish I'd have known that that would be the last time that I would look into her lovely eyes. But I didn't know. And that was hard on me. I did better this time sharing it, but that was one of the most difficult emotional times for me. And I would like to just say to all who are listening, cherish each and every moment with those you love. Overlook the little things and focus on what is really important in life. There is something that Nita spoke to our boys. It was probably 9 months before she passed away, and it has touched so many people. And it's in her book. I had it put in her book, and here's what she said. In life, there are those things that are urgent that want your immediate attention. Excuse me. Then there are those things that are important. Never lose sight of what is important. People are important. Relationships are important. Never trade the important for the urgent. You know, when Nita passed away, I mean, all the way up to the end, she was so amazing. There was a song that would come on the radio, Bless the Lord by Matt Redman. And with all the strength she had, she would raise her hand and worship Jesus. When she was in the hospital bed here in the home, she couldn't raise her arm, but she'd raise her hand and worship Jesus. You know, I would often wonder if this is how the disciples in the Bible, when they went to be with Jesus, if this is what it was like. And that's what often went through my mind as I witnessed my wife. Even that morning at 5 in the morning, very significant day, not just because she passed away, but because of all the things that occurred that day in our lives. But when she passed, I just said, God, this must be how it was for a believer. And in the Bible, when they just so were eager to be with you, and she just left us so much. And I just encourage us all, love your spouses if you're married. If you desire to be married, to be with somebody, companionship, a lot of us are wired for that. Don't sweat the little things in life. It's just not worth it. Focus on what is really, really important, just like Nietzsche's quote, because that's all that matters. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. You know, that is so true. You know, so often that we focus on what we think is so major at that moment, but then we look at it and it's not. You know, I know that we discussed earlier in the interview that I would be asking you a certain question at the end of the interview. Like I say, with each interview that I do, I have to always plan and have an agenda, but I always allow God to just have his way in every episode. And it was supposed to come at the end, but it came more than halfway through the interview. But very true words spoken. And that's just really focus on that, you know, just what is important, just live in the moment, you know. And I think that's something I know myself I had struggled with for years, and not being able to just live in the moment because I always have to have everything planned and, you know, what I'm going to do and everything, you know. And, you know, sometimes I have missed those little moments myself because I just didn't live in the moment. So you definitely spoke to me this morning, Mike, and I thank you for that. I definitely take those words with me from this moment on until the Lord calls me home one day. But just tell us a little bit about how life was after, you know, after everything has taken place. You know, I mean, you know, when you're going through it and then when the end comes, you have preparation. But then after preparation, everyone is off to themselves then. You know, everyone is back into their homes. Everyone is doing, you know, trying to get on with life, you know. How was life for you and the boys the day after?
Well, once things settled down, there was a lot of planning for the memorial, and as I already stated, a lot of work went into her book. But I can also say that what happens, you know, especially when you have a memorial service like I had planned for her, it was amazing. People came, who didn't even know her. It was the middle of summer, the fish are in the river, and the church was full, a big church. People who didn't even know her left saying they felt like they knew her. And there was a big letdown. I mean, it was real. I just felt emotionally like, now what, God? It's like it's come to an end. It's like it's over. You know, then I hit the road running on her marketing of her book. A lot has transpired since she passed away. We have a lot going on. You know, one boy 2 months later off to college right after his mom passed away. And he's doing very well, praise God. The boys and I, we needed to go on a vacation. All of our vacations have been centered around Florida and the East Coast where her family is. Wonderful vacations. I took the boys in December to Hawaii. The boys had never been to Hawaii. Nita, when she worked for Dartmouth as an admissions officer for 3 years, she traveled the whole nation recruiting, but she never went to Hawaii. She was just never interested in Hawaii. So I decided I'm going to take the boys to Maui, which we did. We had an amazing time together, wonderful. We were there, I think, 15 nights, and they did things they'd never done before. They did some surfing. We did body surfing. We did some snorkeling. We just did all kinds of stuff. And it proved to be very good for the boys and I because everything had been so intense. I mean, the boys had to give up swimming. They were excelling in swimming. God prepared them for that. They did not regret it. But everything was intense through their growing up as teens. So it was a wonderful time we had together. And I believe life is, I'm at the point, I'm trusting where it's going to start slowing down a little bit. I would really like to be focused more on helping her book because I see it as evangelism, getting her message out, and just staying close to my boys. One thing that we have in life, always God, but we have family. And we need to always put value on family. And God is teaching me that more and more. And I love my boys. They're wonderful boys. They're full of energy. One will be a senior. The other's going into a second year of college. And, I hope I answered the question, Miss Barbara. But,
yes, you did. Yeah, yes, you did.
Where we are.
Wow, that is simply beautiful. You just kept things very normal, for your boys, and I think that's what they need the absolute most, and that strength, and it's wonderful that they're doing so wonderful today, and it's wonderful to hear that you're doing so great yourself, and life is just going so well for you, and that is truly a blessing, but I just want to speak about your wife's book for a moment. When you wrote that last chapter, I think that's what I really want to get at this morning. Now, there were many events that you had put in the book, but one of the things I just want to piggyback for a moment, if you don't mind, Mike, is that when you was talking about many healings that your wife had gone through in life, prior to all this with the cancer, your wife had a MRI, she was sick, she experienced lots of healings, she had class 4 TB, but prior to that, that she made no actual trips. That what you put in the book, she made no extra trips to the doctor and so forth like this way. But one of the things that what you put in there that I just want to talk about just for a moment is that your wife's persistent for a few months as her health continued to decline. And then one morning while your wife was looking in the mirror, she did not see her face, but rather she saw the face of death like a skeleton. And I know at that moment, that she went to the doctor, and it was so, this one part, was so radical, you know, and I was like, wow, you know, and as I was reading it, I could actually see someone actually doing it, you know. She promptly went to the doctor. She sat on the exam table and insisted on a lung x-ray. And I guess that the doctor says, so she went on to say that you're either going to give me an x-ray or call the police to have me removed. You know, I mean, you know, even something with that, she had a radical persistence in life, you know, that she was a fighter. She was strong, you know, and, you know, I mean, that's very extreme, you know. As I was reading, I was like, wow, I was like, she had a very extreme personality, but that's a good thing. You know what I'm saying? So I guess what I guess what my question is to you, Mike, is that with your wife's persistence, you know, I can see her strength all throughout her life. You know, that she was a woman of faith. She was a woman of strength, that she wasn't going to accept, you know, what, even though when she looked in the mirror that morning, you know, she did not see herself, but she wasn't going to accept what she saw in the mirror. You know, she was persistent. You know, and I believe that there are times that a person's persistence can keep them fighting because they refuse to give up, you know. And even though someone might say, okay, you know, because sometimes people, they think, well, when a person has settled it in their spirit with God that they're ready, sometimes people see that as though that person has given up. No, that person hasn't given up. They're still in the fight. It's just that they have come to a different level, that they know that the fight is not theirs, that the, you know, that the battle is not theirs. It belongs to the Lord. You know, so I believe that's how I want to speak of your wife, if you don't mind, that she knew that the battle was not hers, that it belonged to the Lord. You know, and it's whatever God wanted to do, God was going to be glorified through her. You know, but she was a persistent woman. You know, and it's like, how would you, I mean, I'm just asking you, what would be your outtake on what I just said about your life? You know, do you agree with my analogy of what I perceive your wife to be?
Oh, yes, 100%. Nietzsche, even she put in her book, as God was working a process through her, she referred to herself as a feisty New Yorker. And I wouldn't say she was always feisty, but she was very, very persistent, just like that time you spoke of when she had TB, and they wouldn't believe, they kept telling her, you're okay, and then she was with persistence, went in, no, something's going, you give me what I need. And Nietzsche was that way all through life. She was persistent in everything she did. And she, I mean, she was known in our community as being one of, from the Homeschool Association, they talk about her as being the best homeschool mom they have ever known because of her persistence and how whenever she would start teaching the boys something, and if it didn't work out and didn't fit their learning style, she was on it. She was researching. She was finding a better tool, a better curriculum, and she'd shift in order to help them have the best tools they needed. She was just persistent in everything she did. And not to a fault, but to her benefit, to her how great of a woman she was. And it's because of that persistence, I believe, that carried her through, her strength in God, her persistence in her walk with God. She was very close to God. And that gave her that strength. And, you know, she wasn't a, she was a classy woman. And so she wasn't, you know, she's from the country, big, strong type woman, but she was internally extremely strong. And she faced life's challenges with the confidence, the persistence, and with the trust in God. And so, yeah, you hit it right on, Miss Barbara. Very persistent and very much did everything to the absolute best of her ability that she could do.
Okay, wow. Well, that is wonderful. Well, I do have a few questions from some audience members, and I would like to ask you those questions. I try my best to screen them very carefully just to make sure that that my guest is never, you know, that they're not hurt by any of the questions, because no one ever knows how deep that a person's pain may be or where they may be at, you know, so I'm very careful about that, you know, but I believe that this question is okay, and if I ask any questions that is not, feel free to intervene any time and just let me know that you care not to respond to that one, and we will respect your wishes here, because
okay.
My goal is never to make anyone uncomfortable whatsoever. But one of the questions is that through all the trials that your wife has gone through, do you ever think that you would actually be in, that you would actually go into a different place, that you would curse God, you know? And I was contemplating asking you that question, you know, so I try to reword it just a little bit so it doesn't come across too strong, you know. Sometimes, I mean, I understand people's questioning, you know. I may not always agree with it, but I try to understand where everyone is at, because we all are at different places at different times in our lives, and we walk a different walk. Some are stronger in faith than others, and some are not. You know, but the question boiled down to is that she had lost her father. And when she lost her father, you know, she began to blame everyone for her father's death, including God himself. You know, so can you just give some encouraging words to our follower this morning, if you don't mind, Mike?
Okay. You know, ever since I was young, God has proven to show how real he is to me. I've had experiences with him that I just know he's real. And so, no, I never felt like that I was going to be angry at God, because I know his love for us is so immense. You know, something I helped the boys with, I mean, God prepared me in advance, and I know he did that for the sake of my boys. I have two wonderful boys he loves very, very much. And my boys were hearing a lot, just have faith to believe your mom will be healed. If that's all they heard of their dad, it would set them up for that kind of failure. They could have been angry with God. They could have been chosen to lose their salvation, and or at least become cold in their relationship with God. And I know God prepared me so that I would be strong for my boys, and I would come alongside them and gently. Once I accepted I'd heard from God, it took about 8 months. Where I finally had peace, but I would come alongside and gently help them, not erode their faith. I told them we'd pray for mom, we'd pray for her healing, but no matter what, God is in control, and no matter the outcome, you know, we have to maintain our love, our trust, our faith, our confidence in Jesus. And, you know, by doing that gently with them and helping them along, those boys came through, and they were not angry with God. They did not lose their faith in God. And no, there's, for me, God is just, he's too real to me. He's manifested himself too much to me in my life that it's not somewhere I would go, but I understand that. I was talking to one lady, sharing with her just what I did with you briefly in a store, and she said, you know, I lost my mother, and I became so angry with God, and it took me years to work through that. And she told me, she was encouraged to say, Mike, you did the right thing with your boys. You did the right thing by coming alongside, helping them so that they wouldn't be angry with God, because it's a real issue. It's real. It does happen to people. I fully understand it.
Okay. All right. I just wanted just to, you know, I always like to screen everything first just to make sure that it's going to be acceptable for you to actually answer. The other question that was given was, do you ever think that you would ever love again?
Wow, okay. Okay, I'll answer that. You know, I want to say what Nita did. This is pretty amazing. It was January 2014. We'd wheel her in a back room, and she would speak with each one of us and then pray. Well, one thing she told me is that she was praying for my future wife. When she laid her hands on me, she prayed and said, God, help her to be pretty. I guess that's a wife thing, and that we'd have a lot of fun. She just wanted me to be happy. Now, where am I at right now on that topic? Can I ever love again? God has already spoken to me of my future. He has let me know there will be somebody again. I'm kind of like a lot of us. I'm wired for companionship. Not all of us are called to be Pauls. But where God has me right now is he wants me to make him the focus of my life, the reason for living, my everything, even the love of my life. And he has told me that everything else in life will fall into place. I don't plan on dating. I don't like the thought of dating. I will never do the dating sites. In God's time, I will probably develop friendships. Being married 22 and a half years, I don't maintain one-on-one friendships with ladies, so it'll be a new thing for me. And I know because of the way God has spoken, and as much as I loved Nitsa, I believe there will be somebody again. And I think it would be pretty awesome as friends to actually fall in love as friends. And so it's not my goal. My focus isn't on that. In fact, if that was my total focus, my expectations would be too high, and I'd probably just drain the energy out of somebody. My focus right now is God first and his time, friendships. And then I will let God be God. He will make it very real to me. There's a whole testimony how I knew I was to be with Nitsa. I put a fleece before God. I'm not going to share it now. But he showed me she was the one for me. And just as he did then, in his time, in his plan, in his way, he'll reveal it again. So in the answer to the question, yes, I do believe I will be able to love again.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know what? What I would like to be able to ask you is this. About the book, where can we find the book at? Give us websites where we can get the book. How much is the book? So by that way, people know exactly where to go, because, you know, I like to give people a one-stop shop, because we live in a world that people don't have time to be bouncing around. So I like to give people direct information so they can go directly to the source and get it. But tell us where we can get your book at, and, of course, how much is the book, and what else do you have planned for this book?
Okay. Right now it's all online. The plan is to get it in bookstores. There's a beautiful website I'd encourage you to visit. I believe Ms. Barbara put it in a press release. It's the name of the book, www.throughthetrialsjustbelieve.com. All the purchase links take you right to the Exlibris bookstore. That website with no www is bookstore.exlibris.com. And there's four formats available there. There's a soft cover, hard cover, ebook, and audiobook. The book just went through a revision, so the audiobook is not revised yet. That's wonderful for older people. It's actually the lady who did the reading did a nice job, but I have to have that redone. The book is also available on Amazon. In fact, I just ordered $2 and received them to ensure it's the latest revision, which it is. So it's on Amazon. I believe the price on Amazon for a paperback is like 13, don't quote me on this, $13.45. It's a little over $2 more at the Exlibris site. It's also online at Barnes & Noble. On those websites, there's just three formats, softcover, hardcover, and Kindle. I trust the Kindle is updated with the last revision. It should be. And as I say, the goal is for it to get into bookstores. As far as my plans for the book, this book has gone through intense marketing. It's been in Reader's Digest twice. It's been in magazines in the backseat of every Continental and one other airline seat back in December, and the list goes on and on. Eventually, I may get involved with book signings. I would like to help advance it. God wanted it written, and I would like to see it in the hands of those people that it will benefit, that it will encourage, that it will strengthen, that it will offer support to. So So that's my goal for the book, and those are the places right now that the book can be located online.
All right, all right. Well, early on, I had asked you, even though you did cover one of it for me, you did cover one thing for me, I will say that, Mike. But I would like to be able to ask you this one final question before this interview is almost over. And I wanted to talk to you about your thought process. We're living in a world that people are broken and people are hurting all throughout this world. What could you offer, what advice could you give someone? And I like to be able to give advice in two different ways, because not everyone who follows my show are Christians, and I have people that follow me that are not Christians. So I like to be able to bring something to them that is going to be a blessing to them regardless if they know the Lord or if they do not know the Lord. So I just want you to take a moment, and even if you just need a moment or two just to think about the question first before you answer, that is perfectly fine. But I would like to be able to know, what advice could you give someone that is struggling today, that they have experienced a loss? You know, it may be a loss in a marriage, it may be a loss in a relationship. It may be that they lost their job. They may have lost their family. It could be, we can grieve so many different things, you know, and not always that we can grieve, the loss of a loved one. Some people, they grieve their jobs, their careers, their families. What advice could you give someone this morning that would be able to help them through the storm that they're in right now? But I want you to speak to those that are in the body of Christ and those that do not know who God is, or they may be struggling in that area, even with God right now. What would you offer them this morning?
Well, one thing is something that God made real to me recently, is that God is always in control of what matters in our life. He's always in control. And we can let go of control and let Him have control of everything that matters. And that's what He wants to do. He wants to take control, and He will, if we let Him. And He wants to pour His lavish love upon us. One thing Nita always said in her book for those going through hard times, she always said, "This too shall pass." She always looked beyond the problem, beyond the trial, and that this too shall pass. We can get through this. And one thing she stressed is not to worry about the what if, because no amount of fretting can change anything. In fact, she made something that really touched me. She said, "Is fear may seem real, but it is not. It is a melee of thoughts, worries, and concerns that have not yet happened and may never happen." And how true that is. How many things do we worry about? And we allow fear to creep in, and those things may never happen. And if we just come to that realization that God is in control of everything that matters in our life, and that we can get through any storm, there's many people that have told me that they use Nita as an encouragement, you know, because they're going through difficulty, and they think to themselves, if she can go through what she did, I can get through this. This is nothing. I will make it. There's always somebody going through a trial, I believe, that's harder, that's more difficult, harder than what we're going through. Michael, one of my boys, said once, "You know, Dad, we had it tough. We had it tough, what Mom went through. But you know what? When you look around the world, oh, there's some people that have it really, really bad." And what he told me is, you know, as tough as it was, we're blessed. And just remember that we are blessed.
Amen, amen. Well, you know what, Mike, I have thoroughly enjoyed our interview, and I can't think of a better way to end the interview than what you just spoke. You know, true words, true, honest words that can touch anyone's life regardless of where you're at in life, you know. I always like to leave my guests with this week after week. You know, this is something that God laid on my heart a year and a half ago. And he spoke to me. He says, just remember that God loves you with an everlasting love. You know?
Amen.
And that encourages my soul so much, knowing that he loves me. That there's nothing that I can do to make him love me less or love me more. He just simply loves me, you know? And like I tell people, I'm like, you know what, I get calls from women all the time, emails me like, well, you know what, my husband this and my wife that, and, you know, and I'm like, you know what, just know that, you know, at the end of the day, nothing matters, because no one, and this is what I tell people, no one else hung on that cross to die for me but Jesus. He's the only one. Now, until you get yourself stretched high and stretched wide, then maybe we can talk. You know what I'm saying? But I don't think no one else is going to do that. And if they do, I guarantee you that they're not going to raise up on that third day. So God just simply loves his people, you know. But, Mike, I just thank you so much for sharing your heart and sharing your life with all of us this morning. And I'm looking forward to seeing this book do some great things. You know, God has his hand on it. He has his anointing on it. And God is going to do great things through this book. You know, your wife definitely left a legacy behind, and I believe that that's what God wanted her to leave behind, is a legacy that is going to continue to go on, even though she's not here. But she's looking down on you and your boys right now, and she sees all of your hard work and your efforts and what you're doing for this book, and God is going to truly honor that, you know. And I'm just blessed to have met you and to be a part of your journey with your wife's book, you know, and I'm just very blessed to have met you. I can truly say that I have been blessed, above being blessed, just to have met you, just to have read your wife's book and shared this journey. It is incredible, and I encourage you all to go to the website, get a copy of Through the Trials, Just Believe. There are so many scriptures at the back of the book that is going to truly bless you and it's going to encourage you. And I suggest that when you do get the book, please get yourself an index card and just write those scriptures down. Keep them underneath your pillow. I know that's what I do. I keep scriptures underneath my pillow while I'm sleeping at night. Do that as well, because something that you're going to be going through in life, you're going to need this book to give you that encouragement, and especially God's word alone. But we are out of time right now, Mike. We're under 1 minute. But I just want to say thank you so much for your time this morning. I know it was early for you being in Alaska, you know, and you making the sacrifice for this interview. So I just want you to know that I definitely appreciate your efforts this morning, you know. And, you know, I'm just very blessed, and that's all I can say. You know, my life has been touched, and I don't think that my life will ever be the same. After having an encounter with you and your wife, you know, and I've learned a lot from your wife's book, you know, especially in the area of love, I've truly have been enlightened. And I thank God for just giving me an opportunity to have met you and your wife. And I say that you and your wife because this is your wife's book. And it's just a blessing, it truly is, you know. But I just thank you so much for your time this morning, and I'll be sending you a copy of this interview as well. And I'll definitely be in touch with you to see if there's anything else that we can do to actually continue the work that your wife started, that God started in her, because I know that he that began a good work, he shall see it to completion. And God's going to do it because he's doing it right now. So I just pray God's blessing over you and your boys and everything that y'all do, everything that you put your hands on. I just pray God will just bless it and just anoint you in a mighty way as you continue to go forth. So with that being said, once again, Mike, thank you so much for this opportunity, and God bless you in everything that which you do.
And thank you for inviting me to share today, Ms. Barbara. I appreciate it. And thank you for all who are listening, and may God richly, richly bless you.
All right. Good day, everyone, and I'll see you on Thursday for a very special episode. You do not want to miss Thursday episode. So good day, everyone. And just remember that God loves you with an everlasting love. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Okay. I mean, let me call back Mike Hollinger.